Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Attacked by a man in a pickup truck on Bourbon Street about 3:15 a.m. It's being investigated as a terrorist act. The FBI says there was an ISIS flag in the truck. The FBI says after hitting the crowd, the driver got out and shot at police, who returned fire and killed him. Two cops were wounded. 10 people on the street were killed. Over 30 others are in hospitals. The FBI says the driver was Shamsud Din Jabbar, 42, a U.S. citizen from Texas. His Ford truck was rented. They say a homemade bomb was found in the truck and several other bombs were found around the French Quarter. ABC News Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
This is being treated as the highest priority right now. The Attorney General has been briefed. President of the United States has been briefed about this. The FBI director directly involved in this case as well.
This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin, as they can get tangled up in equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in recycling, as they can cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. The sniffles, sneezes, coughs, and wheezes could be coming your way. It is cold and flu season, after all. Are you taking your over-the-counter medication properly? Brittany Merlot reports.
Got that common winter cold coming on? You should know that there are common mistakes happening when people pick up over-the-counter medicines.
Patients at times may not read the labels or know what the active ingredients are in each medication.
That's Stetson Petrikis, an Aspirus Pharmacy resident. He said that sometimes people are taking two different products with the same ingredients in them, which doubles the dose and may increase side effects.
It is best to talk to your doctor when, say, if you have a cough, if you've been trying to treat it over the counter and it's been about a week and then the cough gets worse, let your provider know.
He says read the label and make sure it's not a combination product.
Sports bring a lot into the Wisconsin economy, and basketball is no different. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Bucks are a multi-billion dollar operation. A recent NBA franchise valuation report reveals the Bucks rank 19th in the NBA with a value of $3.9 billion. The valuation is way up from a $550 million purchase price in 2014.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
The Bucks come back to beat the Pacers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks picked up a win on the road with a 120-112 victory over the Pacers in Indiana. Giannis led with 30 points and 12 rebounds after only scoring 4 points in the first half. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers.
I mean, that's Giannis being Giannis. He was struggling, couldn't catch his breath. When you don't play and then you try to play, you have the bobbles. And I don't know how many times he just bobbled the ball. You can feel it. So in a way, he got through it in the first half, and then he got his rhythm in the second half.
Giannis asked, how did it feel after missing the last 9 days with back spasms and an illness?
I feel like I was a rookie again out there. You know, trying to figure out things as I went. You know, I'm a basketball player, I'm a competitor. First half wasn't a great half, but I feel like in the second half, we were able to move the ball better, had a little bit more rhythm, got to my spot, and helped my team win.
College hoops, number 8th ranked Marquette over Providence, 78-50. NFL, the Packers working on New Year's Day, holding practice, getting ready to host the Bears on Sunday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Happy New Year. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A colder start to 2025 under mostly cloudy skies, but on the breezy side as well, a high near 25 with west winds up to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low near 17, partial sunshine on Thursday with a high of 25. Right now, it's 26 degrees.
Burlow Mattress is more than just another mattress store. They're building better sleep for Dane County with handcrafted mattresses made to order right in Madison. And since they live there too, they make every dollar spent matter, actively partnering to benefit the community. You may even see Maddie the Mattress mascot bouncing with joy around town. In this new year, get what you deserve. A mattress that supports your dreams. American made, locally crafted.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommer, is on the board. It is Wednesday, January 1st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, a great year to be a Wisconsinite. Mr. Zommer, do we have a camel?
Pump day.
The camel has come with us into the new year.
The camel has arrived in 2025.
He slept in a little. He missed the first hour.
He missed the first hour.
He was hungover.
That's right. A two-humped camel that has a hangover. A Bactarian, is that a camel?
I think that's the right one.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, the dromedary is the one hump.
Yes. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you here at hour number two of the big program along with Mr. Aaron Zommers in full transparency, recording this program a couple of days before January 1st, so Zommers and I could chill out, enjoy some football and family and friends, and all of you as well. But we're glad to have you here. Going to look at some predictions for life in 2025. Talk about some other fun stuff. Many thanks to Heather Albaugh-Galloy, my little sister, for being here in hour number one talking football. Again, football going on in many states. Well, on ESPN anyway. As it will be all afternoon, as a matter of fact, but we hope you keep it tuned. For those not in the football frame of mind, keep it tuned right here as you drive through parts of Wisconsin or wherever you're listening to us. How is your 2025 going so far, Zommers?
Just dandy. Just peachy.
Are you, I forgot to ask this last hour, are you a resolutioner? Do you make resolutions? Do you announce resolutions?
No, not really. I take a similar approach that you and your sister and that Kira Sabin has talked about before on the show of, all right, this is a good time, as good a time as any, to reevaluate some goals for myself. But it's not do this by this date, because then I inevitably miss it and feel bad and give up on the whole thing.
Right.
And we don't need that. That's not helpful for anybody.
No, it's absolutely. It's a work in progress, you
right.
understand. That's what it always is. So, I thought on this special day, as you're sitting there enjoying whatever beverage you are on a January 1st afternoon, or, you know, I know there are some people that also have to work on January 1st, convenience store people and other folks. And we appreciate everybody who's out there, public service workers, public safety people appreciate. But thought we would look at this. This is from the New York Times. 12 predictions for a life in 2025. What we will wear, eat, buy, believe, and desire. that covers the gamut.
Pretty much.
Now, I would like to know how this was put together, this story, because is this like, was there actual research? I mean, they call them futurists who I don't want to say they're predictors. They'd probably be offended by that, but they look at history, as Matt Flynn likes to say, you got to know history. And so they look at history and then apply the common current things going on, and then they come up with kind of a formula to be a futurist and say, this is what we see based on past performance and current conditions. This is where we see things going. So it's not just a gut feeling. It's based in something.
Yeah, it's extrapolating patterns.
That's very good. Absolutely. Well said. So I'm not sure that this much thought was put into this New York Times article, but hey, for kicks and giggles, it'll be just fine. So 12 predictions for life in 2025. It says, at the end of the start of the year, did you foresee the fascination with what Gen Zers think, wear, and do starting to fizzle? How about explosion of theme dressing on red carpets or rosettes blooming as a popular motif in fashion? We did. Okay. Looking back the past 12 months, these three phenomena were among the most accurate predictions that the New York Times made about fashion and lifestyle trends in 2024. What might 2025 have in store? Well, if the hypotheses we put forth below are accurate, it'll be artificial, medieval, whimsical, and green, but not because of Bratz.
All right.
Okay, here we go. Number 12, minds drift to medieval times. Remember when all those men were thinking about the Roman Empire? Next year, or now this year, a different historical period seems poised to infiltrate minds. The Middle Ages. There have been indications that a fresh fascination with medieval times may be taking hold. Chapel Roan.
It is. I wouldn't have known if I had not heard it.
Is that how you pronounce it? All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I would have also guessed Chappelle based on how it's spelled.
All right. There's Dave Chappelle. Is it spelled the same way?
Or at least very similar.
Yeah. All right. Chapel Roan performed this year at MTV's Video Music Awards in a suit of armor. Is that, it must be true.
No, it is. Yeah. Her outfits are very over the top and medieval inspired.
All right. Well, Dior sent chainmail down the runway as a show inspired by Mary Queen of Scots. A rakish pickle-blessing priest at a Renaissance festival in New York became an unlikely TikTok star. Really?
Yeah, and you know, I'm not too hip on the TikTok trends, but some of the videos I am aware of that have been making the rounds over the last year are pretty medieval. Like there's one where somebody dresses up as a little gnome wizard and
really
walks around, like waddles, crouches down and, you know, hops over stuff. And then they speed up the video to make it look like they're going at normal speed. And there's just a tiny little person and they play this weird medieval music in the background.
So it could be true.
I could see this happening.
All right. Instead of being demure, people in 2025 will start readying themselves for battle, or at least try casting away their phones to party like it's 999.
I don't know about casting away their phones.
I don't either. I think they're more likely to take videos so they can post on their phones.
Right. I see some performative casting away of phones, yeah, but that's not new.
All right. Well, that according to Zomers, that one may be
true. I don't
know. Well, I think, hey, you have a better sense of this than I do. We're looking at trends, things that predictions, according to the New York Times, that may happen in 2025. Number 11, a hunger for the artificial. Says whether or not Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is confirmed to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, the prospect of his overseeing the nation's well-being could be enough to inspire a run on all things artificial as a backlash to Mr. Kennedy's Make America Healthy Again movement. Look out for commuters swigging Diet Coke for breakfast on the subway, candy-colored cocktails spilling out of plastic cups at bars, lines around the block at fast food restaurants, and the fake fur, fake leather, and fake gold associated with the aesthetics of Forever 21 at its peak in the early 2000s. No more indie sleaze, just sleaze.
I hope not.
These are actually kind of fun.
They are.
And you don't find a Forever 21 anymore. Apparently Forever 21 wasn't forever.
I guess not.
Because I'm the one here at Westtown Mall, and it's a huge footprint, by the way. These were huge stores.
Oh, absolutely.
Gone.
There's a lot of empty space over there.
There's a lot of empty space. Number 10, 2025 predictions trends, according to the New York Times. Protests get punk. A few years ago, burdened by student debt, inflation, job insecurity, climate change, the coronavirus pandemic, Gen Zers laid the groundwork for a bout of, is it nihilism?
Yep.
Now that the national mood might be shifting towards nihilism's more politically inclined cousin, punk, as the incoming Trump administration seeks to dismantle the established bureaucracy, Democrats are grappling with their own need to get gritty. Traditional protests appear to be on pause. A hastily angered women's march in Washington after the November election had low attendance and enthusiasm. The march's organizers are hoping to make more noise at another event in January. We talked 2 days before the inauguration. Perhaps activism will look more unorthodox and inventive this time, more like the vigilante tactics of the Russian band Pussy Riot, but made in America.
Yeah, I could definitely see this happening, especially after the CEO assassination and the folk heroification of Luigi Mangione, that more people take on more extreme acts, for better or for worse.
Yeah, for worse. By the way, before you write letters or ads at me, Pussy Riot is a legitimate name of a band.
It is a band, yeah.
It's a punk band.
Right. I'm not saying they should. I am saying
I know what you're saying. No, I think you're right. And again, I don't want to, I mean, today isn't the day to get too much into politics, but we talked about this on previous shows, that a lot of these people, you know, that said, oh, I can't vote for Kamala Harris because she's the lesser of two evils, and so I'm writing in Jill Stein or not voting or whatever because of Palestine and Gaza. They're the ones that are going to go and now protest, not when Trump is president, but 2 days before while Joe Biden is still president, so everything's safe and nice.
Right.
Not exactly a profile of courage. And I'll be honest, I am not in the protest mood in 2025. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want demonstrations.
Well, you will see and hear it.
I don't want to hear it.
Probably a lot.
Because a lot of those people were the same people that went to Kamala Harris rallies and disrupted it.
Or just chose not to participate at all when they knew better.
And now they want to. We've seen it here in Madison, in our very building where we park. A pro-Palestinian, anti-Jewish vandalism and graffiti spray painted on the parking lot.
Yeah, we have seen that.
And it's horse crap. And there was a time for this. It was called the election. And a lot of people decided not to participate. So I don't want to see Pussy Riot inspired protests. I don't want to see it. And as Forrest Gump once said, that's all I got to say about that.
Fair enough.
We're looking at trends. This is supposed to be a lighter bit, by the way. Trends, according to the New York Times, things that could happen. We don't know if they will, but they could happen in 2025. We're going to come back and talk about number 9. Tartans taking on new relevance. Are you a tartan plaid type of guy, Roberts?
Not particularly.
Not particularly. I've worn a little tartan plaid in my life.
But well, you used to work at Tilted Kilt.
I did work at Tilted. I was the GM at Tilted Kilt, and I was also a manager at L.L. Bean. Not related, but both, ironically enough, had tartan plaid. We'll come back and talk about it. Happy New Year. It's 2025. It's a Wednesday, January 1st, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Yesterday, we reported on attempts by anti-voter legislators in Arizona to make it harder to get citizen ballot initiatives on the ballot and a higher threshold to pass one. Another suppression tactic by opponents? Slap signature canvassers with a subpoena. Recruiting and training a legion of canvassers to put a measure on the ballot is already an expensive proposition. As we noted yesterday, should the Arizona Distribution Requirement for Initiatives Amendment pass in November, signatures would be required from all 30 legislative districts in Arizona, meaning more volunteers and more expense. Bolts Magazine reports on another tactic: take the ballot question organizers to court. Opponents hope that by challenging the question's text, signature collection methods, and eligibility of canvassers, it can either invalidate signatures or make it financially unfeasible to continue. A recent Arizona law allows opponents to subpoena canvassers to defend their petitions, and if they don't appear, the signatures can be tossed out. Bolts Magazine chronicles a 2018 climate ballot question that had 1,400 canvassers subpoenaed, and organizers spent $1.3 million transporting and housing canvassers, most of whom never even testified. Expect more such tactics as anti-voter legislators try to keep power out of the hands of citizens. We've linked the Bolts Magazine article at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along this New Year's Day. A little old anxiety, old lang syne. Yeah. And you cannot do a better rendition than on bagpipes, right?
Many may disagree. I agree. But
I like a good bagpipe.
I do too, but a lot of people loathe them.
I don't understand those people.
I don't either.
Do I want to go to a two-hour concert of bagpipes? No.
But they have a time and place.
Absolutely. St. Patrick's Day at formal occasions, funerals. I mean, what's more heart wrenching and just than, you know,
Amazing Grace.
Thank you. Amazing Grace of bagpipes. Nothing. Just it's powerful. That was a nice rendition of Auld Lang Syne.
Well, maybe bagpipes will make a comeback in 2025.
That, very nicely done, Mr. Zommers, here on a New Year's Day special edition of the show. Getting into 2025, looking at the top trends that may, predictions that may come true in 2025, according to the New York Times. Number 9, tartan takes on new relevance. Whether they'll bring the bagpipes with them, I do not know. It says with 2025 expected to channel this year's political unrest, tartan, the textile that designers like Vivienne Westwood have used to challenge the ideals it was created to represent. Structure, conformity, loyalty seems poised for a resurgence. The British footwear label, Underground, has covered its signature creeper shoe. What's a creeper shoe?
I have no idea. Right. And I feel like looking it up will put me on a watch list.
It's called a creeper shoe. They're going to put that in tartan as a part of its collaboration with a French designer I can't pronounce. Jesse Regina, a digital creator, has started styling tartan with streetwear in Instagram posts and the brand Chapova. I'm not sure how to say that. Chapova Luena in London has modernized tartan skirts by holding them together with carabiners. Really, with carabiners.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. For some, tartan will be a top of mind mere days after the start of the new year when the third season of The Traitors, the reality television show full of Scottish finery, premieres on January 9th. Whether used to challenge conformity, flaunt loyalty, or enliven an on-screen wardrobe, look out for more of the textile. All right? See more tartan plaid. Apparently, in the new year. Number 8, According to the New York Times and top trends that may happen in 2025, I am completely at a loss of this one, Zommers. Pandan, P-A-N-D-A-N, pandan, also known as screw pine leaf, is a staple flavoring in Southeast Asian cooking, imparting a sweet, grassy, almost vanilla-like taste and sometimes a pale green color to dishes known including kaya toast, honeycomb cake, and nasi lemak. I'm not sure. So pandan is supposed to become a star ingredient in 2025. It says many bakeries and coffee shops already offer pandan treats. Try the pandan latte at a New York City cafe. Never heard of it. Or the kaya bun at Bread Belly in San Francisco. The ingredient's growing popularity has put it on track to achieve what some, including the author, included sees as a telling sign of trendiness. Arriving at Trader Joe's. Oh, well, if Trader Joe's having it, it must be a thing.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's happening on both coasts, yes, it probably will make its way inland.
After a year of the green brat, brat green, brace yourself for pandan green. It seems like an Asian type of ingredient, and I'm old fashioned and I like sweet and sour chicken, but not all these other things.
Well, I haven't had it. I'd be open to try it.
You'd have some pandan.
I'd have some pandan.
Not panda.
No, that would be very illegal.
Have some grilled panda. Thank you very much. I have eaten at the Panda Express. I think that's more my style.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, number 7. In top 25 or top predictions for 2025, according to the New York Times, a new crypto craze.
Oh, I hope not.
Are you a cryptoer?
No.
Neither am I. It says cryptocurrencies seem dead as doornails after the collapse of FTX. The price of Bitcoin tumbled from its 2021 highs and many startups in the space fizzled out. And then President-elect Donald J. Trump retook the White House and gave a full-throated endorsement to crypto.
And he's got a new one.
Yeah, fueling what is likely to be a new age of digital get-rich-quick traders and hustlers.
Yes, it's going to just be another run of hustlers. More people who introduce a coin, pump it, say this is the greatest thing in the world, get a bunch of people to buy it, and then they sell all theirs when it's high and everyone else is left holding the bag.
I do not understand it.
I can conceptually understand how it works. However, that means I also see that usually it's a scam.
Yeah.
And so I don't understand how people get involved in it.
Says Haley Welch, better known as the Hawk Tua girl. Yep. Don't ask. Just if you want to know, Google it up. Has started her own meme currency. What?
Yeah, she made her own cryptocurrency, and then she did exactly what I said. She scammed people. She hyped it up, got a bunch of people to buy in, and then sold all her own shares. And then they are stuck holding the bag, and there may be legal action against her. I haven't checked an update in a while.
Says pro-crypto technologists are landing positions in the new Trump administration, and the price of Bitcoin has soared past $100,000 a Bitcoin. And when that thing started, you could buy it for cents.
Oh yeah, that like people who saw that was going to be big.
Yeah,
hats off. You did a good job. Like,
they're living really, really large.
The concept of cryptocurrency, the idea of it sounds neat, but the way it's actually used, it just scams people out of money mostly.
Oh Lordy, well stay tuned. A little news update here for you at the bottom of the hour. Then we'll come back and talk more of trends that could happen in 2025. Says here, the author says, I chuckled in October when the Black Keys shilled for one of the crypto's biggest political action committees before the election. Perhaps the fading rockers saw what was coming. Crypto could be big in 2025. We'll tell you more. Don't go anywhere. It's a New Year's Day special, 2025. Welcome in. For better or worse, we're here, everybody, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health has a new tool to help parents understand their preschool-age children when they're having big feelings. Melissa Kay reports.
When children are struggling with their emotions and acting out, parents don't always know what to do, many times resorting to a tablet or TV to calm the child. This doesn't help them learn to identify emotions and manage feelings in a healthy way. Children communicate how they feel with their behaviors. This tool helps families identify feelings as well as ways to calm challenging behaviors. It's called the Early Childhood Feelings Thermometer. The thermometer features 5 zones, starting at green, the calm zone, and lists feelings and behaviors associated with that zone, and goes up to red, the furious zone, with suggestions to help the child in the moment, such as vigorous physical exercise or taking a warm shower or bath. You can find out more at children.wi.gov.
Travel Wisconsin has released its snow report tool for the winter season. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Winter is here in Wisconsin, and there's plenty to do around the state. A resource for finding your next adventure is the snow report, and Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin says it shows more than weather conditions around the state.
It's more than just learning about, you know, what the conditions are. It's really this full-fledged planning resource. So you can click a destination on the map and say it's a snowmobile trail or a ski hill, and you're going to find ideas for nearby restaurants to eat at, places you can spend the night, events that are happening in the area, and all these other ideas to just sort of round out that winter getaway. And you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You can also find other winter activities and information on the Travel Wisconsin website. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Happy New Year. I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A colder start to 2025 under mostly cloudy skies, but on the breezy side as well, a high near 25 with west winds up to 15 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, a low near 17, partial sunshine on Thursday with a high of 25. Right now, it's 26 degrees.
Blind Shot Social Club, a perfect blend of cool, casual dining, indoor golf with space for events, craft cocktails, and non-alcoholic drinks too. A hidden gem on Madison's east side. Blind Shot Social Club, open to everyone. BlindShotSocialClub.com.
Hi, this is Megan Senf, office manager at WMDX. Remember to stick to the 4 main food groups, candy, candy canes, candy corn, and syrup.
Where's the donut?
Yeah, we want donuts. Yeah.
Happy holidays from Civic Media.
Not happy with donuts.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Yeah, pursuing truth. truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, along with me, Mr. Aaron Zommers, helping us ring in the new year. Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year, Mr. Zommer. Glad to be here in the new year ahead.
Happy New Year to you as well.
Thank you so very much. I did not get you any crypto, though, for New Year.
Thank you. I didn't get any for you either.
Oh, thank you very much. We're taking a special show today, by the way. No phone calls or texts as we recorded this show a couple of days ago. We're off. We're not here physically in the studio today. We'll be back with an all-new show tomorrow and on Friday. Kind of getting through the end of the holidays here, and then away we go. But talking about the trends for 2025, now that we're in the new year, things that could happen, according to the NewYorkTimes.com. Some of them we're agreeing might be things. Hopefully some won't be, like crypto.
Hopefully.
We'll see. We will see. All right, number six says the United States of Merchandise. Good gosh.
Well, Elon said he's going to do it. I hope not.
Says, forget White House M&Ms. With an incoming president who turned a baseball cap into a pledge of allegiance and made merchandise out of not only his mugshot, but also the suit he wore in his mugshot, it is but a matter of time before more elaborate souvenirs of the second Trump term are available for purchase. New Trump perfumes have already been released. Elon Musk, to your point, Mr. Zommers, has teased merch for the new Department of Government Efficiency. And the potential next FBI chief, Kashmir Patel, comes complete with his own K$H product line. Are you serious? I had not heard that part.
I hadn't either, but I'm so unsurprised.
Oh, Kashmir. I mean, think about this for a second. Elon Musk is supposed to be helping head up the Department of Government Efficiencies, and he's selling merch.
Nothing says efficiency like creating a system of unelected bureaucrats headed by two people that spends half their time dreaming up merchandise.
Exactly. Complete efficiency. What could be next? The scent of the Oval Office? A build-your-own-wall kit? That's pretty funny, actually. Crime Buster shades? Maybe just a Treasury friendship bracelet with gold beads. Whatever the answer, you can bet it's going to be more than a button. That one was pretty funny, actually.
That is good.
Because it's unfortunately, it's true, and that's part of what makes it funny, I think. I mean, we've already seen Melania Trump was selling a Christmas ornament. Trump was hawking more Trump Lee Greenwood Bibles around the holidays. Please, for goodness sakes, folks. Save your hard-earned money.
I had one wish this Christmas, it would be for all the children of the world to band together and sing in perfect harmony. And if I had two wishes, it would be for the children thing and also for Trump to stop selling Lee Greenwood Bibles.
Number five, according to the top 12 predictions for life in 2025, the New York Times, whimsy drowns out quiet luxury. All right. Minimalist brands like The Row and Totem. Is it Totem or Totem-A?
I have no idea.
T-O-T-E-M-E. Somebody knows. Have had a long grip on stylish people who can afford their simple but pricey pieces. But as the years wear on and cultural and political winds shift, some have started to look for ways to make luxury a bit less quiet. One solution has been whimsy. Consider, for instance, the fanciful charms dangling from a growing number of handbags, or the vintage or vintage-inspired jewelry that many fashion influencers have been drawn to lately. The desire to express one's individuality through clothes and accessories is evergreen, meaning it lasts forever, or a long time. But the recent focus on personal style may be partly the result of algorithms that can recycle the same outfits on our social media feeds ad nauseum. As it intensifies, I expect more people to be seeking out those special items that are uniquely them. That sounds like that one was a very New York Times one written one.
Yeah. And it's also, it's like, yep, people like to wear unique things, especially when big icons in pop culture are people like Chapel Roan, who, again, wore a suit of armor to a performance. So people are going to look to wear weird stuff.
That's just odd. It's just odd.
It's cool, though. Yeah. And like, you know what? You do you. Be yourself.
I guess. All right. Number four in top 12 predictions for 2025, Ramaswamy versus Musk. Leaving aside the seemingly inefficiency of setting up a Department of Government Efficiency with not one but two leaders, the political partnership between Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk makes some sense. Both wealthy tech entrepreneurs with a healthy sense of self-worth have a lot in common. But just as familiarity often breeds contempt, the current bromance could well fall prey to the kind of reality show competition that Donald J. Trump has long seemed to encourage. Men in government and everywhere often favor combat over collaboration. Add to that the seeming need for both Mr. Musk and Mr. Ramaswamy to seek attention, and their partnership could be short-lived. A spotlight, after all, usually only shines on a single person. Now, see, I like this one because, I mean, we saw that already earlier this week. We talked about it on Monday. There's already a fight within MAGA with, right now, Musk and Ramaswamy are together on this, on say, well, you know, we didn't really mean about deporting everyone, only the people that we like. And we actually want to still have people immigrate with H-1B visas for the jobs that we like.
But right, if we because don't, Musk did that.
Right, because, yeah. But I think this article is right. I think two people, big personalities, big egos, I think there could be a shakeup.
Oh, when I first heard that they were co-leading the Department of Government Efficiency, I am shocked that it's still, you know, planned to happen.
And I think the author of this article is right. Trump loves nothing more than to see two people go at it like that. And he just sits there and he gets off on this kind of crap.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We saw it in The Apprentice. Top 25 possible trends of 2025, according to the New York Times. The rise of a Clinton core. This is interesting. When Donnie, a women's wear line popular among the social media set, introduced its holiday collection 2 weeks after the November election, one ensemble stood out. A two-piece taffeta suit of prim collarless jackets and tapered pants, which bore a striking resemblance to styles favored by Hillary Clinton. On Instagram, a photo showing Donnie's so-called lady suit, styled with kitten heels and pearls, received emphatic comments from 30-somethings, like the model Paloma Essler, who wrote, "I am deeply obsessed," unquote. Within 48 hours of being released, most of the jackets had sold out. The lady's suit's appeal could be an anomaly, but it could also signal that Mrs. Clinton's style of clothing is catching on with young women at the dawn of the second Trump administration.
This, man, after all the flack that she got during her presidential campaign for what she was wearing, and now this.
I know.
I kind of hope this does pan out because it would just be so ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
Such a rapid flip-flop.
Yeah, I mean, I see a picture of these. They look like, in my opinion, as a man who's not a fashionista, but I do have a sense of style. I would say it's loosely based on Hillary Clinton's fashion. They look like really nice silk pajamas. That's what it looks like to me. But I don't know. I guess you could be the judge. Top 25 things that are 11, 12, whatever. There's a list of things that could come true in 2025, according to the New York Times. Number two, wrinkles are embraced. Between 2013 and 2023, Botox rates for people under 30 jumped by nearly half. I did not know that.
Now, some of that is probably because people are discovering its efficacy in treating migraines, but
I didn't know that either.
Probably right. Only a small number.
The COVID era aggravated our social media addiction and introduced us to a tyranny of video calls, steering many women towards cosmetic surgery. Filler injections also soared. Now there is evidence of a movement against Botox. Celebrities are dissolving their fillers, and anti-Botox makeup tutorials are trending on TikTok. Who knew? Could 2025 be the year of the wrinkle? Or at least the year of the plant-based skincare? I am right in style. My crow's feet are right on.
See, all you got to do is just hold the course, and eventually you'll be in style again.
Eventually it comes back around. You're absolutely right, Summers. And the number one trend of possible things that could come true, predictions that we don't know but could happen, according to the New York Times. Number one, a turning point in the war for attention. If our thoughts this year have felt like pinballs in a machine, clattering, bopping, and bouncing in all directions at the mercy of incessant smartphone notifications, 2025 will be when we reset the game. Workshops now promise to teach the art of reclaiming attention. States are passing laws that restrict phone use in schools. And some people are swearing off their devices in February instead of alcohol in January. Now, that's very interesting. No phone February instead of no alcohol January.
Why?
I don't know. It's like no nut November. I don't know. And then there's TikTok, known for an algorithm that can make it particularly difficult to pry eyes off screens, has come one step closer to being banned in the United States. Well, we'll see. Trump is put something in the hopper there for the Supreme Court to block it. We'll see. All of this points in one direction, Mr. Summers. 2025, this year, may be a turning point in the war for attention, a moment when many Marie Kondos, what is it? Marie Kondo, their minds, and see what joy may be sparked by clearing out the meme of clutter.
I am not endorsing this prediction. I believe that the internet is too focused on hitting that immediate dopamine button, and yeah, it's going to take more than a year to change that course.
See, you don't think that no phone February is going to catch on?
I think people are going to say they're going to do no phone February and then take videos with their phones to post on social media about it.
You're probably absolutely right about that.
Because what's the point of these TikTok trends, following the trends, doing dry January or whatever, if you can't post about it and then get clout, you know? Right. So the kind of people who follow these trends can't bring themselves off social media, if I had to guess.
I agree. I think this is a BS prediction. Because I mean, look at me. I'm part of this by job, right? I have to be in touch with what's going on for the job. But yeah, I'll go for a kayaking trip for 5-6 hours and leave my phone in the truck just to completely detach. And in some ways it feels really great. But boy, I don't know if I could go. Well, of course you could if you had to, right? But I think I would feel, at this point, I would feel odd. It would be an uncomfortable feeling to go 24 hours without my phone.
Same here. I mean, especially since it's your job, but also These influencers who push these trends, that's their job too, to be on their phone. So no phone February goes contrary to their way of making money.
And I also think it's really sad that I have to say that, but I'm being honest. I mean, I think that, and I'm really going to sound like the old man, but boy, I remember when we didn't have it, it's the landline phone. And times were simpler, and my mind was clearer. And I didn't think about so much needless things, and not everything was an emergency. Maybe I should do that in 2025. See if I could go 24 hours or 48 hours without a phone.
Good luck.
We'll come back, rack up our New Year's Day show. Thanks to the New York Times for that kind of helpful list. It's the Todd Hallwald Show on the Civic Media
Radio. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was.
recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you got to stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high-interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Everybody, happy new year here at the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock, coming up at the top of the hour, a little ABC or CBS News, depending upon which station you're listening to, a little weather and sports update as well, and then in addition to the Maggie Dawn Show after us, a little Auld Lang Syne. It's not Auld Lang Syne. This is, it's Auld, A-U-L-D, Lang, L-A-N-G. S-Y-N-E, Auld Lang Syne. A Scottish song, to not know that. In the English-speaking world, it's a traditionally sung to bid farewell to the old year at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve. By extension, it's often heard at funerals, graduations, as a farewell or ending to other occasions. For instance, many branches of the Scouting movement use it to close jamborees and other functions. You're an Eagle Scout. Did you ever use that and to close a jamboree?
Yeah, I not a lot. I also didn't go to a lot of those, like jamborees or anything, but I've definitely heard it used. Everyone sings it before you leave after everyone's all packed up.
Really?
Not, yeah, again, yeah. My troop didn't do that a lot, but I had heard it before.
All right. The text is a Scots language poem written by Robert Burns in 1788, but based on the old Scottish folk song. In 1799, it was a traditional to use the tune also as well. It became standard. Auld Lang Syne is listed as numbers 6294 and then a big long number in the Road Folk Song Index. Never heard of that before. The poem's Scots title may be translated into standard English as Auld Lang Syne. All right. Or less literally, long, long ago, or days gone by, times long past, or old times. Consequently, for Auld Lang Syne, as it appears in the first line of the chorus, might be loosely translated as for the sake of old times. The phrase Auld Lang Syne, also used in similar poems by Robert Anton, Alan Ramsay, and James Watson. There you go. In modern times, Matthew Fitt, not Matt Flynn, but Matt Fitt, used the phrase in The days of Auld Lang Syne as equivalent to Once Upon a Time in his retelling of fairy tales in the Scots language. Well, there you go. Hitherto unknown facts about a popular song this time of year.
My first conscious memory of this song is at the end of a Winnie the Pooh holiday special.
Really? I did not know that.
And anytime I hear Auld Lang Syne, I think of the end of that. I can't remember which one, but.
It reminds me of growing up back in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin, the old home station, WRCO, which of course now is part of Civic. In the early mornings, we used to have a guy locally, his name was Orly Baker, and I old farmer, I guess, and a storyteller. And there was, it's now something else. It doesn't even really exist anymore, but the sponsor was Boscobel State Bank. And so Orly would come on, and it was do this on cassette tape. And it was basically what I do for 2 hours every day. It was just talking. He would just pick something. And he had kind of a dry voice. And he'd come on and he'd say, "Good morning, everybody. This is Orly Baker coming to you this morning. Well, it's," and he'd just tell a story. You know, "Well, it's the new year, everybody. And of course, it reminds me back on the farm, the new year. It was always a fun time for the holidays. But again, a lot of times it was cold. You have ice. And, well, you know, we had chickens. And sometimes those chickens' feet would freeze right to the ice. And we didn't even have a chance to chop them out. Mother would have to come out with a hatchet and chop off their feet. So then we'd have chicken dinner." And it'd be stories like this. And then at the end of it, he'd say, "Well, time's for now. This is Orly Baker saying goodbye for today." And nobody really knew what "times for now meant. And the more I think about it, maybe it was his rendition of Auld Lang Syne.
I think so. I think you're onto something.
Yeah. And of course, he'd say the sponsor was the Boscobel State Bank. And you got, you know, the branch of Blue River and Muscadine and the home bank of Boscobel. "Well, that's time for now. This is Orly Baker saying goodbye for the day." So "times for now. Shout out to Marilyn Moff Talk, by the way. "Times for now. This is Todd Hallpaul with Aaron Zommer saying goodbye for today on our special New Year's Day edition. Happy New Year, everybody. May it be a blessed, safe, and wonderful 2025. Hang in there, everybody. We're going to get this through this together. Happy New Year, Mr. Zommers.
Happy New Year to you.
We'll be back tomorrow. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. And Auld Lang Syne.
For Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX. The John and Gordy Show.
Well, Bob Woodward, you know, ever since All the President's Men, along with Carl Bernstein, they basically blew the cover off of the Watergate scandal.
That's right, with Deep Throat.
And that's a great movie, by the way.
Deep Throat? I saw that.
No, I meant All the President's Men, but thank you for that. All right.
Linda Lovelace was a great performer.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. New Orleans attack. I'm Chuck Sievertson. The latest from law enforcement sources to ABC News is that the driver of the pickup truck that rammed and killed 15 people overnight and shot at police was from Texas, and several homemade pipe bombs filled with nails and coils were found at the scene, and they also found a grenade. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The suspect has been identified as Shamsuddin Jabbar, and authorities are now working to determine his military history, whether he has ties to New Orleans. A local congressman has told us that it appeared he was carrying identification that indicates he at least knew his way around New Orleans. We're trying to dig in as to what exactly that means.
The FBI says the driver had an ISIS flag in the truck which he rented. The FBI says that they believe some others were also involved in the attack. Officers shot and killed the driver. Tonight's Sugar Bowl is postponed. This is ABC News.
Local